Today's study on the pastor's study is going to take us over to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 4 and verse 23. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, the scriptures say, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our title of our study today is The Right Kind of Heart. The Word of God has a lot to say about the heart. The Word of God commands us in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13 to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 instructs us to do the will of God from the heart. By definition, in the Bible, the heart is a term for the center of man's thinking, emotions, and will. From the heart proceeds all the actions and motivations of man. That is what our text says here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It would seem that if God was a doctor, and by the way he is, he'd be a heart surgeon, amen? The scriptures tell us of all kinds of things God does to the heart. For example, God tries the heart. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 17 and in Jeremiah 12:3, God knows the heart in Psalm 44:21 and in Jeremiah 20:12. God searches the heart in 1 Chronicles 28:9 and Jeremiah 17:10. God understands the thoughts of the heart in 1 Chronicles 28:9 and Psalm 139:2. God ponders the heart in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, and Proverbs 24:12. God influences the heart in 1 Samuel 10:26, Ezra 6:22, and 7:27, Proverbs 21:1, and Jeremiah 29. God prepares the heart in 1 Chronicles 29:18 and Proverbs 16:1. God opens the heart in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. God enlightens the heart in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and Ephesians 1 through 18. Not only that, God strengthens the heart in Psalm 27, verse 14. God establishes the heart in Psalm 112, verse 8, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. The Word of God has this to say about the heart. It says, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived." Also in Proverbs 28:26, we read, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Today on the pastor's study, I want to think for just a moment about the heart that God wants us to have. About the heart that God wants us to have. Amen. First of all, let me say this. The kind of heart that God wants us to have is a broken heart. That's the kind of heart God wants. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 34 and verse 18, he wrote, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart." In Psalm 51, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Hardened hearts, my friend, are something we all need to keep on guard against, is it not? The Word of God tells us, "Harden it not against God," according to Psalm 95:8. The Word of God tells us, "Harden it not against the poor," according to Deuteronomy 15:7. You see, our hearts, my friend, need to be broken over sin. That was King David's heart attitude, amen, when he prayed that great prayer of forgiveness and confession of sin over there in Psalm 51. Listen to the words of David, beginning in verse 1. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Acknowledge against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. You see, David had a broken heart. His heart was broken over his sin. He confessed it. He acknowledged it. He didn't blame somebody else. He acknowledged his sin. He claimed it. He said, I did it. No one else did it. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. Whatever you're going to give me is right. Amen. Where is this today? Amen. Where is that broken heart over sin? Amen. You don't even see it in the churches today. Amen. What a sad situation we're in. You see, our hearts need to be broken over the needs of God's people to get right. Amen. Turn to 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's see. 2 Kings chapter 22 with me. In 2 Kings chapter 22, in verse number 19, 2 Kings, we see here 2 Kings 22, verse 19, and because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Now God was said this about Josiah, the king of Judah, when the word of God was read to him. He realized just how far Judah, amen, had turned from the Lord, and how wicked they had become. Josiah saw the need for Judah to get right with the Lord. You see, we need to be broken over the spiritual need of the church. How many churches have turned from the ways of the Lord? There is no longer a gospel witness. They're no longer taking a stand on the Word of God, the King James Bible. They are no longer separated from the world. We have, for the most part, become complacent, no longer having compassion, making a difference, no longer broken over lost sinners needing to be saved from the fires of hell. Amen. Even part of the ministry of the Lord, when he was sent, came down to this from his home in glory to this earth, part of his ministry, he was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. We see here today, then, number one, God wants a broken heart. God not only wants a broken heart, but number two, he wants a believing heart. He wants a believing heart. Look with me in Psalm 112. Psalm 112 with me. And we'll look at verses 6 through 8. In Psalm 112, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Look also, the Lord wants, God wants not only a broken heart, but he wants a believing heart. Look with me and the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26 with me. The prophet Isaiah, chapter number 26, verses 3 and 4. Notice what the Word of God says. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Here's a promise, my friend. If you want to have perfect peace, this is what you have to do, and this is what I have to do. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. My friend, if you want to have perfect peace, amen, in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul, it says your mind must be stayed on the Lord. It must be fixed on Him. It must trust in Him. It must trust in the Lord, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Remember back there in 1999 there, when you had all the talk about what was going to happen because of Y2K, and of course nothing happened, but there was a great panic. People were stocking up on food and water and waiting for the world to end, amen? The sad part is many Christians got caught up in this nonsense, amen? What happened to just trust in the Lord? This, my friend, is what a believing heart is, amen? A believing heart, trust in the Lord. We do live, my friend, in perilous times without a doubt. But so didn't the psalmist. Notice what he wrote. In Psalm 27, in verses 1, 2, and 3, he said, this is a psalm of David. David wrote this psalm. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here's a man who spoke, amen, by experience, amen. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This was the same a man who had defeated Goliath, that great giant that all the army of Israel feared. Amen. Here's this, because he could do that, because when he was younger, he was able to defeat a bear and a lion. Amen. God got him through that, and he knew that God could get him through anything. Amen. He said, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, that's the only way that you and I can say that we can believe that, is if we trust in the Lord, we believe that the Lord is our light, He's our salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is your strength. He's the strength of your life, and if He is, then whom shall you be afraid of? Amen. David said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, past tense. And he knew this. The reason he knew this is because he trusted in the Lord to take care of him and to protect him. Amen. That's right, my friend. God wants a believing heart. A believing heart also produces happiness. A believing heart produces happiness. In Psalm 146:5, we read, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Amen. My friend, the reason maybe you're not happy is because you're not hoping in the Lord. Amen. You're hoping in something else. If you're hoping in something else, if you're hoping in that bank account or that job or your family or your children or whatever it is, they can't make you happy. You have to hope in the Lord if you want to be happy, amen. That's what the Word of God says. If you're going to have a believing heart, amen, if you're going to have a believing heart, you got to have a believing heart if you're going to be happy, amen. So far we've seen God not only wants a broken heart, amen, a believing heart, but you know what? He also wants the burdened heart. He wants a burdened heart. The Apostle Paul spoke openly about his burden for Israel. Let's turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, he spoke of his burden for the nation of Israel, for his people. In Romans chapter 9, notice what Paul said beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 3 together. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart. And he's going to tell you the source of that great heaviness and continued sorrow in his heart. He said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He would rather be accursed. He would rather be damned, amen. He'd rather have that and to see his brethren, the Jews, be saved, amen. His kinsmen, according to the flesh. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This man had a burdened heart, amen, for the kinsmen according to his flesh, for the nation of Israel, for the Jews. Paul not only spoke about his burden for Israel, but he actively tried to do something about it. Whenever he came into a city or town, he would first find a synagogue and go and preach Christ. Amen. He preached Christ crucified. That's why he said this. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew. Notice that first. And also to the Greek or the Gentile. See, Paul would go, he'd go into a town or a city, he'd immediately find a synagogue, and he'd preach Christ crucified to the Jews, amen. They'd reject him for the most part, and then he'd go and preach to the Gentiles, amen, Christ crucified. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection. My friends, we live right now in an hour of indifference, amen. We live in an hour of indifference. People are not burdened in the churches, even the so-called fundamental independent Bible-believing King James churches do not have the burdened heart like they should for this lost and dying world. My friend, God has a burdened heart. He has a burden for the nation of Israel. Notice what he said in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31. He said, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel? He says, cast away from you all your transgressions, amen. He's telling them to repent, amen. He's telling them that God wants to be their God, and he wants them to be their people. He wants to give them a new heart, a new spirit. He says, for why will you die? Why will you die and go to hell, O house of Israel? God has a burdened heart for Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, he says, say unto them, talking about the nation of Israel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Amen. He didn't want to see them. He said, I have no pleasure in seeing you die and go to hell. I find no pleasure. I'd rather have you saved. He says, please, he's pleading with them. He says, turn ye from your evil ways. He says it twice. Amen. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? But you know that what? God not only has a burden for the lost souls of Israel, but he has a burden for all lost souls. How do I know that? Amen. He just doesn't have a burden for the elect. He has a burden for all souls. Notice what the will of God is here in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, often people ask, you know, why hasn't the Lord returned? Look at how awful it is. Look at how wicked it's getting. Amen. Just recently here in the state of Massachusetts, where I was raised and born, amen, and lived for most of my life, amen, they just recently passed a law granting that queers could get married. That's what they are, queers, amen. They're not gay. They've taken the word gay. Gay means happy, amen. There's nothing happy about it and joyous about it. It's against the word of God. It's against what God has to say, amen, in his word. And the Lord, the word of the Lord is right. We don't care what the state of Massachusetts says. We only care, or what any state or what any country says. We only care what the word of the Lord says, because the word of the Lord is right, amen. But you ask, people often ask, why? Why hasn't the Lord returned? Look at how things are getting. Look at how we're in perilous times, just as he said it was. Well, the reason he hasn't come back, I believe, is that he is long-suffering. Amen. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be saved. The gospel is going out. This United States of America has been gospel to death. Amen. We're sending out missionaries all over the world, amen. He's long-suffering. He has no pleasure, as he says, in seeing the wicked die and go to hell. He wants all to come to repentance. But you know what? God's patience, his long-suffering, and it's long, amen, is going to run out sometimes. And we're going to hear the shout and the voice of the archangel. Amen. And we're going to be the church, the body of Christ, all born-again believers, from the day of Pentecost up until that time, the rapture, are going to go up. Amen. And then the great tribulation will take part on this earth. A tribulation like mankind has never seen before. God is going to turn his wrath out on mankind. Amen. Where is our burden? Where is our burden for the lost? Our busy lifestyles have robbed us of our burden. We have time for everything else except for the things of God. That's right. Except for the things of God. You know, we'd rather talk about the weather, sports, current events, than the saving power of the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that right? Shame on us. Folks, we need a burdened heart. You know the kind of heart God wants? We've seen a broken heart, a believing heart, a burdened heart. He wants a brand new heart. You see, the heart of fallen man is desperately wicked. Look with me what Jeremiah said about the heart of man. You know, all this garbage you hear, and that's what it is. Oh, there's a goodness in every man. Oh, you just look deep enough in a man's heart and you'll find some good. Let me tell you, that's not what the Word of God says. That's what your so-called liberals says. Amen. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Again, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the condition of your heart and my heart. You know, the Lord said in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 28, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Amen. That is what brought on the judgment of God in the very beginning. We read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God looked down, and what did he see? God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yet people constantly go on the dictates of their heart. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 warns us. It says this, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know how people often say, oh, trust in your heart. Do what your heart is telling you. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Don't trust in your heart. Trust in the Lord and him only. Trust in his word. Go by what his word says. For the word of the Lord is right. Remember that. We need to be like David and say this, as he said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen to that. David knew. Praise the Lord. Amen. He knew he needed a clean heart. He knew his heart was, as Jeremiah said, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the kind of heart that made him commit adultery with Bathsheba and have her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered. That's why he knew. He cried to God, God created me a clean heart. Amen. O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Word of God tells us faith is the means of purifying the heart. Faith is the means of purifying the heart. Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying, here it is, purifying their hearts by faith. Listen to the words of the scripture about faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of Romans 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. So we see faith is the means of purifying the heart. That's right. Jesus said, amen, over there in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, he had this to say in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 3, he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's why we need the scriptures, the preaching of the scriptures, listening to the scriptures being preached by a man of God, reading the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, studying the scriptures, so we can have a clean heart. As we conclude our study on the kind of heart God wants, what does God see today when he sees your heart? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 reminds us, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. My friend, do you possess the right kind of heart? The kind of heart God wants. Amen. We saw today that he wants a broken heart. Do you have a broken heart? Do you have a burden for souls? Amen. Do you have a believing heart? Do you trust in him and him alone? Amen. Do you believe the word of God? Do you have a burdened heart? As the Lord has a heart for the nation of Israel to be saved and for all souls. And my friend, maybe you need a brand new heart. Amen. Maybe you've gotten so filthy with sin that you need to cry out to him as David did. As David cried out to him, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. My friend, today maybe you're listening. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you a new heart, a clean heart. Won't you cry out to him? Call upon the name of the Lord to save you right now. Repent of your sins. Amen. And ask Jesus to save you. Once again, we've run out of time here on the Pastor Study.